Lime, duh.
Let's do it again, baby. Hello.
Not changing my lifestyle. I'm 4 or 5 women every day of my life.
Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling Podcast, a podcast where comedians are dissecting wrestling to an unhealthy degree.
Thanks for nothing.
Okay.
You're all dismissed. Right. Bye-bye.
I'm your host, the host with the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling, Dave Black.
Shuts your hole!
A.K.A. Lunsky, Black Amora, A.K.A. Donnie Wrestling. Donnie Wrestling. A.K.A. the modern day goof and spoof. Ha-ra-ja.
WWE Champion Jinder Mahal.
Coming at you like Cleopatra. Baby, baby, gubba, gubba. Gubba, gubba, wee. That's G A double B A W double E.
Gabba gabba wee, gabba gabba wee, gabba gabba gabba.
Yeah, this girl, she's mine, and then she's mine. Becky, coming at you, Becky Lynch on the 101s. Everybody, you got it. It's Tuesday. Oh man, coming at you like, wait, where am I at?
Okay. You got it.
Oh man, we are back in action for your satisfaction with all of our spicy, spicy We Caliente wrestling reactions. By the way, you guys remember from last week the new national anthem of America, right?
Erase your mind. Now shake those hips.
That's right. Coming off July 4th weekend, the new...
Pull up your pants and do the Muscle Man Dance.
The Muscle Man Dance is now... All right, anyway, what's up? We're here at the Cal Podcast talking all things pro wrestling. And what I would say is a very awesome week of pro wrestling. I had a very good time watching. I'll see if the people agree. Before I introduce the room where it happened, a little Hamilton for you, spicy. Remember, you can support this podcast on patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. We are grassroots. We are doing this podcast sans studio. We are out in the Zoom ether, rocking out in Coronaville. Support the podcast. Go to patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. Throw us a couple bucks. Show us that you dig what we're doing, but we're not asking for handouts. We got tons of bonus content. We have our AEW NXT bonus episode coming out every Friday morning. And also, we have the Cal Movie Club, where Aaron, every Monday, we put out an episode where we watch and rate a movie with a pro wrestler in it. What movie is out this week, and what movie will we be watching next week, Aaron?
It's Lime, by the way.
Aaron opened to LaCroix, but with very inaudible.
Mike doesn't really pick it up. Anyways, next week we're watching a 2018 or 2019 comedy.
Classic
called Chasing Molly that is now available on the official Cow Movie Club streaming platform Tubi or Amazon Prime.
Yeah, actually,
stars guys, Kurt Angle.
Yeah, starring Kurt. I officially made Tubi streaming service one of my guys.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
It's a free streaming service where you could just watch Kickboxer and Bloodsport for free at any time. So I mean, and No Holds Barred. Absolutely, and Chasing Molly.
The sequel to Chasing Amy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. With Kurt Angle. Mm-hmm. Kurt Angle plays Silent Bob.
he plays a lesbian in the movie, actually.
Absolutely. And then what can Kurt they watch Angle this does? Week? What was the episode from this week, Aaron?
Oh, this week we watched, oh my gosh, COVID-19 era classic My Spy, starring Dave Bautista, also available on Amazon Prime. Loved it. Newman, did you see it?
No.
Spoiler alert, one of us gave this movie a perfect score. So who was it?
And spoiler alert for the Inside Out 2011 episode starring Triple H. One of us gave that movie 5 moves. So let you decide.
That was me. But it's Triple H talking about wanting pickles. Anyway, you heard Erin Finnerty in the house, the first lady. Let me introduce him, the nasty one. He is a nasty, nasty boy. Nasty Newman.
Welcome to the How About It Penitentiary.
Wow.
Lockdown. COVID. Round one still.
What? Oh yeah, I know, right? Still the very.
It's not the second wave. I don't know what people are thinking. It's still the first wave.
Newman, let me ask you: what is the protocol for getting when a new inmate arrives at the How About It Penitentiary?
You spray him down with like a delousing agent.
Right.
You know, you put their belongings in a little box. Right. Show them to your cell. And then you super kick them.
Wow. Immediately for the super kick. You get in the cell and you say, stand outside the door, right?
Right.
Stand outside the door. And then you pretend like you're IRM and you pretend to walk away for a second. Psych, you come back, super kick them in, and then you lock the door. Welcome to fucking How About It City, bitch.
Right.
Then
exactly.
You lock the fucking door.
And you do like you walk away and you do one of these, like you stop and you look back. And then you hit him with a super kick.
I actually have a recording of what you said to the last inmate.
No more, Mr. Nice Jew.
Wow, I thought that was unnecessary to make that religious thing. But anyway, we're talking all things pro wrestling this week, and I think in the rare occasion, I'm going to start at NXT because Keith Lee. Is the new unified. He's the double champ. He is the North American champion, which he was going into the match against Adam Cole, but he is now also the NXT champion. They put, what would we call him? Keith Lee? Keith Two Straps? Keith Doe Straps? It's Bailey's line. But Keith Lee is the champion, which is, It's huge. First off, I like that those belts are together because I don't see any difference between them, really. I never really had. But Adam Cole with a historic run, you know? I mean, he had the title for, like, I don't know, 400 days or something like that. I haven't looked at the exact number, but definitely over a year. And then they chose Keith Lee to be the guy to take it off of them. How do you guys feel about that?
I love Keith Lee. I think it's
Great. I mean, is there a more in the context of wrestling that means that they're in love with this guy, right? If they're like, you get both belts, then it's like that. There's no other way to put it. They're in love with him.
Well, it's interesting because he definitely feels it's interesting because the NXT's in this weird spot where your immediate implicate, like literally when you hear the news, you go like, all right, so Cole's going up. Right.
I was going to ask, what is that about?
and that's the interesting thing about NXT is that I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, they need more. They need more of the title moving around without it means somebody's just graduating. You know, if they're going to be their own show. For a while, it was really cool when it was the minor leagues of WWF, which by the way, of the main roster, which by the way, it is. It still is. You know, I mean, Matt Riddle just got called up. He didn't even win the title over there. Like Vince still could just pull guys on a whim. He runs the show. So that still is there. But Keith Lee, I mean, NXT is now winning the ratings war, seems to be. Last week they had 100 over 100,000 viewers more. So they must believe in Keith Lee to throw the strap on him. He definitely deserves it.
Yeah, I mean, I remember seeing him. I saw him a couple years ago at PWG, and then sort of like to see him go from like in like the span of like 3 years indie wrestling to on television with two belts is crazy.
I see like a lot of development with Keith Lee in terms of his personality and his comfort on television in the past year, and I think a lot of that comes from. It reminds me of just seeing my friends who are like they're good at comedy, and then they get some kind of validation, and all of a sudden they're great just right. from the hat, you know, just from like here handing the torch. And I think his big moments last year, notably Royal Rumble and Survivor Series, really gave him that boost to believe in himself, because he's not a young guy. I think he's like 36. You know, not that that's old either. I just mean in terms of wrestling, a guy who's like 400 pounds and 36, you know.
Right.
But yeah, it's cool they got him to hold the mantle. And I think it's kind of, you know, I think it's the right move. I wonder, they showed a Killer Cross. I wonder if, you know, that's interesting. They just showed a shot of him. I wonder what the feuds are with Keith Lee, and then I wonder kind of like, I guess I wonder what they look like. How do you get under his skin? He seems like such a likable guy. You know what I mean?
How do you make him mad?
Right. You know,
you mess with Mia Lim. That's how you make him mad.
Right. That's what I'm saying. The whole thing of Mia Yim is like, I don't know exactly. We'll see where it is. But Killer Cross wrestling him. Killer Cross can't afford to just lose clean to Keith Lee at this point. But we'll see where it goes. This leads me into kind of but congratulations to Keith Lee. Well deserving, a great wrestler, you know. Love, I think wrestling needs more guys his size who can go like him. You know, he's awesome, and he has a natural likability. He is one of the rare baby. You know, he is a natural baby face. You know, so
he's very lovable.
But he's a big guy that wrestles without a shirt on.
That's bonus points too.
Yeah, actually, yeah, I'm glad you said that. This was a thought I had. Obviously, this is the kind of thoughts that run through my head while I'm watching wrestling. Because I was like, I think he has his optimal look going.
Right.
I think he's wearing the right shorts. You know what I mean? Right? I don't think – I don't want to see straps on him. I like the full exposed bod and then the booty – the with the longer short. It looks right on. It looks right.
Yes.
So anyway, bask in his glory, everybody. Congratulations. This leads me to my next point, which is that everyone knows that I knew the result of this match already because last week I was looking up the card for this week on Wikipedia and this, and you can hear me on the Patreon episode last week looking up the card for this week and spoiling it for myself while right before it I tell everybody that I saw that there are spoilers, they do exist for this, so be careful about it while I click knowingly on the Wikipedia in real time. But, so I knew Keith Lee was the champion for a week, but Jericho, Jericho in full-on pro wrestling scumbag mode is pulling a classic WCW of spoiling the other show in the ratings war. So Jericho, I don't know if Chris Jericho, I saw it on his Facebook, but Jericho wrote, like, he had an article that he posted that said, like, here's, click on this for the results of next week's show. And he's main eventing on AEW on the counter programming, you know?
Right.
But I don't know if it's Jericho has one of those things, you know, like sometimes someone who's like big has kind of like a news, you know, he kind of has like, right, his own, like, it's a ChrisJericho.com, but it just kind of reports on all wrestling news, and he doesn't even run it.
Right.
I didn't know if it was kind of like that, or he was pettily doing it.
Well, if it's his website, you would think that he has some control over the content that gets posted.
Yeah, I mean, regardless of that, did they make irregardless a word? Did I make this up?
No.
I think I saw an article saying that they put it in the dictionary.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, that just goes to prove how all words are bullshit.
That's exactly what some of us say. Here, look. Regardless of what you think, irregardless is a word. NPR. A day ago.
Wow.
Yeah. Irregardless is now a word. Anyway. Don't judge me, Nguyen. It's
the ear serves the same function as less. It's redundant.
Yeah.
Irregard or regardless.
People are really mad about this. Many people find irregardless to be a nonsensical word, as the ir prefix usually functions to indicate negation. However, right. in this case, it appears to function as an intensifier. That's what the dictionary, that's what they said. It's not a real word. I don't care what the dictionary says, responds author Michelle Ray, who teaches English at Silver Spring, Maryland. You say regardless, regardless of the fact, she tells NPR Morning Edition. Irregardless means not regardless, and that's not what you're trying to say at all. So why, right. in what context would irregardless make sense? I can't understand it. Wow. So anyway,
irregardless. How would it work? What is the context where you were saying where you would say not regardless?
I just naturally was going to use it and then remembered I'd seen this in passing. So I was saying irregardless. Oh, what I was trying to say was that regardless if Jericho is posting it or not, that's what I was trying to say. So I was right. saying irregardless. But now that I say it, it sounds so stupid. Anyway, God, right. I mean, we just – I see. I'm following this in real time. We lost a listener.
The grammar police.
The grammar police. The grammar police and the mask police. Mm-hmm. Two functioning
They're
members
in cahoots.
Of society. I did see on CNN, this is irregardless of what we're talking about here, but I did see a guy on CNN, some sheriff in like, I don't know where, like Arkansas or something. And he was wearing like a cowboy hat, had the straight up like Wilford Brimley mustache. You saw this guy?
No, I heard about it.
CNN was interviewing him and he's like, yeah, like, they were like, so you're telling your constituents not to wear a mask? He's like, no, we're not the mask police. He's like, I wear a mask. I tell people to do it, but like, we're not the mask police. He's like, I take my mask. I wash it. I wash it. But this guy, then the CNN woman would be, I don't even care what your political stance are. She would just be like, so you're saying you're not going to wear a mask? He's like, I see what you're doing. Like, I already told you I'm not doing it. So what do you want to talk about? Like, it's so funny. She's trying to stretch the segment to the length it's supposed to go. He's like, we're not the mask police. You should wear a mask, clean it, but I'm not enforcing that. I'm not using my police officers to do that.
Right.
It was pretty funny.
Why would a police officer want to enforce public safety?
I know.
That's a very good question that I don't know.
Why would they want to?
It was just funny because he wasn't trying to have the combo, and he kept it. I love that. I see what you're doing. Then she was like, she brought up the president. She was like, yeah, the president. And he's like, see, I didn't mention the president. You did. I support him, but I didn't mention him. Anyway, it was fun.
Where was this at?
I was on CNN. I'll find you the clip.
What city? Where is this guy from?
I don't know. I actually
probably
don't
like
know.
Georgia.
I don't know where. I'll think about it. I don't know. And I just was enjoying his energy, to be honest, because it was early morning.
You know what I mean? That changes things.
Yeah, it was just I love it.
Ohio.
It was Ohio. All
right. Yeah.
Okay, but irregardless, the Adam Cole how do you feel about Jericho spoiling, like, do you think that's a cool move? Do you care? Do you think it's pro wrestling to do that? You know?
That's like, strikes me as like an old school move. Like, if the internet was a thing back in the day during the Monday Night Wars, this would have been happening every week.
So it happened in the Monday Night Wars, the most famous time,
right,
when
like
Mick
on
Foley
air,
won
right?
the title.
Yeah.
And then they on Nitro were like, no reason to turn on Raw. Mick Foley wins the championship. Who cares? And then it backfired, and everybody turned on Raw. It's like don't look now,
right?
Yeah. Right, right.
It's like Mick Foley winning the title was crazy to think at the time. He doesn't win any matches, you know? even if you watch that when he won it, it's the schmozziest thing you've ever seen in your life. It's Triple H, Stone Cold, Big Show. They're all out there, and then he happens to pull Mick Foley onto the Rock or whatever for the pin. All right? It's great. You should watch it to tell people to turn over the channel. But I would say I think it had a similar effect here. I knew Keith Lee won, and then I was more – focused on that match than the Orange Cassidy Jericho match because I knew the title was switching. So I think spoiling results never gives you that don't watch result.
Right. And it's also, it seems like even given the context of wrestling, it seems like slimy even for wrestling to do.
Totally.
Like uncharacteristically slimy of Jericho. And he's a slimy guy.
He's slimy. Like, he is slimy.
That seems like a different level of slime.
Maybe he's just like trying it out. Like, how does this go? How do people take to this level of sliminess?
Try before you slime.
Yeah. Many people say that what he's up to, he's calling this kind of behavior the Judas effect. He also called out that if you remember Moxley and I don't remember if it was Ortiz, I don't know if it was Pride or Powerful, but they had an eye for an eye match on Dynamite, and so now the Mysterio match versus Rollins is an eye for an eye match. So he's pointing out the stuff, but it's cool because Jericho's—he's going all in with Jericho understands that there's no actual consequences in wrestling. Like,
right.
The only thing that matters in wrestling is heat, you know.
Right.
And at this point, also, he's probably very comfortable knowing, like, if I never go back to WWE, I don't care. He's got his money. He could keep doing the cruise. Even if AEW failed, he could run a successful indie promotion. Like, he's fine. You know, he wrestled Mania 33 at a singles match against Kevin Owens. That's a great way to go out in WWE. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, do you think there's a less than 100% chance that there's a COVID outbreak on his cruise?
Oh,
that would be like a super spreader for sure. A cruise?
I don't think there's a less than 100% chance.
No, not less than, maybe more.
It's at least 100% guaranteed to happen. It just depends on how much.
I mean, cruises are just like COVID petri dishes. My parents had a cruise scheduled for August, and like, you know, they're not going, obviously.
They better not. Yeah.
No, I'm sure it's canceled. But anyway, all right. Well, I feel like I think that it's just I think because you don't get the intended result on it. I don't know, but it's kind of fun. It fits Jericho's gimmick to go all in on WWE. You know what I mean? So it doesn't bother me. But I agree. It's not like the coolest thing to do. Okay. So I want to talk about this. Shayna Baszler. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This was a big – people were really into this. She filmed a match for Main Event. You know, this is coming off her. And Becky also announced that I don't know if she announced, but I saw on the sheets, not totally verified. And by the way, people give me shit about looking at the dirt sheets.
Oh, regurgitating the sheets, Dan. Yeah, what has this podcast become?
I got busted. What has this podcast become? I become. That Becky had said she wanted to lose to Shayna at Mania.
I just want to point out, Dan, in your Facebook post about this, you used regardless correctly.
I did?
The post, yes. So
nice.
Tip of the cap from the grammar police.
I don't think I say irregardless that much either. I think I'll spot it, but it does bother me that we would make a word that makes no sense a word, you know? But then again, it does benefit a man like me who is known to veer from time to time. Not, you know, not stray, okay? Veer off the vernacular, okay? I'm not all right, I'm not going to make a joke with that. But okay, anyway, here we go. So, so Shayna Baszler. We also heard that Vince is not sold on her. That's what all the reporting was on it. What do you guys think? Do you think it's good for Shayna to do that, to be like kind of wrestling main event matches, or should she have stayed more high profile? And then also, with wrestlers being let go at the rate they are, is it such a big demotion to wrestle on main event anymore, or is just everyone's going to have to? Is it the current Axel zone that it used to be?
Well, we have to also – okay, so you have to properly contextualize it, right? Like they film – if you're on main event, that means that you're not on Raw, and instead you're filming your match while people are like filing in to the show. So you're like pre-opening match So what other context?
I forgot about it in that context. That's a great point.
Yeah. So like it's whatever. So there has to be like there has to be a parallel, right? Like it's like so is it a demotion or is it like, well, we want to have you work on stuff before it gets on TV or, you know, I don't know what the full context is, but I don't think it's good per se.
And they're working with a limited talent pool because of the people who were furloughed or whatever, fired. And because people are opting not to wrestle because of COVID. So, I mean, it kind of fills that space.
Yeah, I didn't think it was such
like
a big deal.
Said, like, maybe it's like they want her to like work on stuff before she gets back in the picture.
Right.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
And maybe she's coming back from taking some time off or something.
Right.
But I do believe also that Vince is not feeling her. I think that's true because I wasn't feeling her run on the main run. I don't think any of us were really thought it was killer. So to be fair to her, some of the booking was weird. If you remember in the chamber, that was kind of her big moment, and that was booked for her to like just stand around for a while. But yeah, I don't think it's such a, I also think like it's cool. If WWE can start having it where, like, you lose a big match and then you go to the bottom, that's a good way to build people back up. One of the problems with WWE is that there seems to be kind of, like, no actual structure to it. I think that's what where AEW kind of does thrive. Like, Jericho was entering just now when I was watching AEW, and you're like, oh, they put it – they're like, he's 2-0 since losing to Moxley, right? So that's when he lost the title. So you're like, oh, he's 14-5-1 in 2020, right? So then you're like, oh, or maybe that's his lifetime, probably his full AEW career. So you're kind of like, oh, all right, I see where Jericho stands a little bit. He's right now 2-0. He's building himself back up. That's how UFC. So if wrestling is supposed to be real fighting, that's what happens in UFC. You know, like in UFC, it's like you lose, then you get kind of a jabroni fight. You win three, and you'll probably get a title shot. If you win three in a row, you probably get a title shot. And then also there are money fights. There's like stunt fights, you know? So it's like, well, this guy's really popular, so he's a draw. There's draw fights also. So, you know, so I think it's cool as long as they use it. The problem is like main event, it's like we don't even watch main event.
Where is main event? Is it a direct-to-network situation?
I actually don't know the answer to that.
It may be on USA on like Saturday mornings.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. I didn't know that.
All right. Kairi Sane apparently is leaving to go back to Japan. Her husband lives in Japan. She just got married like 3 months ago or something. Right. I lost track of time. That honestly, if you told me that was 2 years ago, I would believe you.
3 months ago.
Yeah.
April?
I think she got married during the quar. I don't know. Irregardless, folks, I'm gonna just bury that joke early.
I bet you won't.
No, of course not. I'll get that joke. I'm trying to get that joke over. I'll put that joke over. Kairi, do you think Kairi, I was thinking about her career and I was like, listen, you should do what you got to do for your life. You know what I mean? Do you think that she's better off in Japan? Or do you think that she could do more on the main roster? It feels like Vince doesn't have that much for her, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I love her, though. I've always loved watching her wrestle. So
she's blessed.
It would be a shame to lose her. But again, like, I think she would be fine if she went and wrestled in Japan. I thought there was word that she was going to retire. Is that true? Am I making
You know what? I just saw she's going back to Japan. Sarah Logan retired and is pregnant.
Announced that she's pregnant.
Mm.
Yeah.
So,
well, I don't know. She'll be fine, I think, anywhere because she's great.
Is there female wrestling in New Japan?
No, there's called female Stardom.
Stardom, yeah.
Right, and then there's like Joshi is a separate thing, right?
Well, Joshi is just women's wrestling,
right?
In Japan.
Oh, that's just the term for women's wrestling.
Yeah.
Okay. But why does New Japan have a women's division? Like, why?
That's a question. Yeah, that's a lot of people ask that question. It's
it feels like a progressive culture over there in that way. Like, you know, like it's not like women are, you know, wouldn't be able to watch women wrestler. There's so many women, Japanese women wrestlers. I don't really understand that part of their culture. Like, because wouldn't you want a female match on Wrestle Kingdom?
Yeah, I don't know. That was debated a year ago. There was people like asking that question, and then there was people who were upset that the Ghostbusters were ladies who were saying, it's for men. They already have Stardom, blah blah blah. So,
and not only that, we're getting like another male Ghostbusters. Like, it's like Paul Rudd.
Yeah, they're righting their wrongs with that Paul Feig movie.
I know. I know. Like, I was like, what? Who gives a shit about this? Like, I don't like love movies with a bunch of kids in them. Right. Not because I don't dislike kids. I just have a hard time locking into kids as main characters. Their dads were the Ghostbusters, and then I got to watch these kids are like, oh, the gun's heavy. Like, I don't give a shit about that. You know?
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway.
I like new Ghostbusters, for the record.
It was really funny. I thought it was really funny. Kate McKinnon was hilarious in that movie. Hemsworth was fucking hilarious in that movie, if you remember.
Always a treat.
The only thing that was jabroni status in that movie. Casey's awesome in that movie. The only thing that was jabroni status in the Ghostbusters reboot was the use of the old Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's forgettable. I, like, forgot that they were in it.
Yeah, like, Bill Murray shows up as, like, some weird character that, like, gets thrown out of a window. You're like, they should just be the old Ghostbusters again.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then they, like, pass the torch, right?
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. So, but I would be bummed to see Kairi Sane leave. All right. Moving on. New United States title has been unveiled. Mm. What do you guys think?
Well, Dan said something in response to the title that now every time I see it,
it's in my notes, right?
Yeah. Well, in the text thread when the photo went out. Yeah. It's all I see now.
Is that it's a little fascist.
It's a little Nazi looking.
Yeah. It's kind of this weird thing where but I will say for the record, I think it looks cool, the title.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely
an upgrade.
First off, it's passes the hunk of metal test. It's a huge hunk of metal. You know, I think like the paint on it is a little like when you paint metal too much, it looks a little like art project-y. But if you see it, but also like there is like the lineage of the U.S. title has red, white, and blue on it.
It is very American looking. I'll give you that. I'm seeing the stripes, the stars.
You just got to think, if you were wearing that, would you feel cool?
No, it says champion all big.
You don't like champions? You're not a champion?
What's up with
self-confidence, bro?
If you're wearing – I have more self-confidence than this belt would grant. If you have a giant – if you have a giant gold belt on, what are you other than the champion? Why would it have to say champion?
Yeah, I know.
They like made the wrong words big. Like,
United States should be the big thing, and then like champion.
You guys can see me on Zoom, but
are people going to buy the replica title of this?
This is a 100%. Picture I took in Berlin.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, that's the first thing I thought of. I mean, it's, you know, the classic Nazi eagle. But it's kind of a thin line. It's a thin line between the American bald eagle and the Nazi bald eagle, right?
Yeah, they put a lot of effort into making this look like a bald with the silver head and the gold body.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
It looks like the quarter, you know, like.
I do think
it's cool.
It kind of looks like one of those pins that like a pilot gives like a little kid on a flight, you know, like the wings,
like Delta wings. Yeah. Yeah. Nothing more American.
I mean, that's a really apt comparison considering they're both purely symbolic.
Yeah, exactly.
I do like it. I also think that Apollo Crews is having kind of a fun run with it. Not like, I'm not like a huge Apollo Crews mark or anything, but it is giving him a little shine.
I think Newman Marie Kondo'd him a few months ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he went in the trash.
We took flack for doing wrestlers in the trash, too.
He's still
but
there.
I'll say this.
Did we?
Just on the Facebook group. It's not even worth talking about. But comedy doesn't even exist anymore. But listen, okay? Okay, folks, come on. Is that necessary? Here's what I want to say. One thing in WWE, and this kind of goes to my point about the structure thing. I kind of don't like how just anyone can debut a title. There's no ceremony to it.
You know what I mean?
Like, in I keep going to AEW. I mean,
how dare you? Whatever. Bias alert.
But even in NXT, I feel like it's always Triple H, right? He comes out with the title. Like you want to, like Dana White, you want to feel like these things are official, like they're not toys, and that requires like treating them very seriously. Like you need like a proper commissioner, you know.
Right.
And WWE does it sometimes, like Foley with the 24/7 title. Like that was a terrible debut for a title, but it's like, all right, you bring in Foley so that's kind of like a big deal, you know.
Right.
And like Bret Hart debuted the AEW title at All Out, I believe.
Yeah. That's when MJF peaked, by the way.
At that title? At All Out?
Remember when Bret had Hitman had and then he came out and he cut that promo on him?
Yeah.
That was like MJF peaked and then it was.
He'll go back up, though.
Yeah.
He's a great talent. Maybe.
He's MJF chart. You can get a cameo from MJF for $500. By the way,
that's
so expensive, but it's such great kayfabe.
Yes, MJF, Roman Reigns, and Ric Flair all cost the same. So MJF,
that's insane.
Yeah,
Roman Reigns $500.
Yeah, Kilborn charges $900. For the record,
that, I know.
I'm a big Kilby.
By the way,
who's a big enough Daily Show mark that like Kilborn is there?
I love Kilby.
No, that's not why it's that. It's Kilborn has a whole kayfabe going on. If you follow Craig Kilborn's Instagram. He has basically a wrestling persona about being like the like classiest guy in the world.
Yeah, like he wears like a lot of ascots, drinks martinis.
It's fun.
It's very funny.
He has like the portrait of himself from his Late Late Show set.
His whole like gimmick is like white privilege, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think he did a thing where he's like marching but like wearing an ascot and stuff like that, like a lot of like and he always talks about teamwork, right? Like he has like one word, maybe it's like he always says like in one word, I would say teamwork. I don't know what it is. It's very funny. He's very funny. He's a fucking hilarious guy.
And I used to tape like the Late Late Show on VHS every night and watch it the next day when I was like in middle school.
But yeah. All right. One thing I noticed, okay, kind of weird. Did you notice Ricochet's promo this week? And
I
felt like it was, I don't know how to put this, but it felt like he was a little more hip hop in his promo. And like he said, literally, in the meantime, in between time, like the rap lyric, you know?
Yeah.
And anytime that happens, I just picture Vince being like, giving him the note, like urban it up or something. You know what I mean?
God.
Yeah.
Urban it up. I wonder if that's how he says it.
But I'll say this, is that like,
why don't you inner city it up for me?
Vince.
I really
Section 8 it up. Not my words, Vince's.
No, I know. It's Vince. Shock the system. But it was this thing where I thought that Ricochet was actually – there was an element there where before he's cut, like, very weird promo. He felt a little bit – like, it was kind of the most – something about him, I don't know if he was told – he seemed comfortable. And he was rocking the booty shorts, and I kind of saw Ricochet that, like, they might be moving away from the superhero thing because he's paired with Cedric Alexander and letting him be more of himself. So I don't know, but I do think the key to Ricochet is like He's another guy, a lot of likability, you know? Let Ricochet come out, dazzle the crowd, and just have people like him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because that's really kind of the only thing he's missing. He obviously is tremendously athletic, and, like, I don't know if, though, like, he doesn't strike me as somebody who listens to hip-hop. He strikes me as somebody who listens to, like, My Chemical Romance.
I was going to say, like, country music. Like
Paramore. He's from Kentucky.
Yeah, I watched his episode of, maybe it was 24, one of the documentary shows about him, and he does not strike me as a hip-hop listener at all. Like, he seems very kind of like,
we're trying our best, people, we're trying our
best. I know, but he just he seems like a really sweet guy, but there he doesn't, I don't know, he just seems like
he
I don't know, like someone who may be from Kentucky. Like,
yeah, I just think it's really like, well, I think it's really interesting that he, like, I don't know. There was something there where I was like, I, you know how tightly scripted these promos are? And I'm like, I hope this is, they're not writing it for him like this, you know?
Right.
But it's very small. But anyway, I just think Ricochet is such a big talent. Like, they got to just crack him. Like, put whatever like time you need. Like, if they can't get Ricochet to be like a Jeff Hardy style heavyweight champion, then they can't do anything. I mean, guy is like a mega talent. He's a star. Like, brand him. Like, he needs AJ Styles gloves, like stuff like that. He needs, like, you know, he needs, like, he's a big star, you know?
Yeah.
So I hope they crack it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if I'm Ricochet, it seems the math is pretty simple. It's like, I can do things like front flip out of the ring onto the ramp. You can't do that, so I'm better than you, and make him kind of a heel. And it's just done, because like, I'm sure he is confident in himself and can tap into that and just make that the thing. I think he's not a natural face.
He's such a wow. Like, he's such a – we got to remember, he's such a big talent. Like, if they find a way to bury him, it's crazy, you know?
Right.
Now, it's tricky when you have a guy like Brock who's the champion, you know?
Ricochet, yeah.
It is Ricochet. Richard O'Shea. That's what what's R-Truth calls him. but
God,
anyway,
I
they got to get Ricochet over. All right, let's talk about Bayley and Sasha for a second. Mm-hmm. I think Bayley and Sasha are really hitting a nice stride for themselves. Specifically Bayley, and then because Bayley's doing it, I think that we're bringing the best out of Sasha. Now,
yes,
I'm still not, I'll say it, I'm not like hugely sold on Bayley or whatever, but her new gimmick, I don't know exactly what it is. If you remember when she first became champion, her thing was kind of like, I don't know, she wore like, it was kind of like, I would say, like a Cleopatra kind of thing. Like, right? Like, she had like a little like head. It was like, I'm just really serious, right?
It seemed like she was like, like a moody tween who's like entering like a Hot Topic phase.
Right.
You know, eyeliner.
But now she's just like full on like annoying white lady.
She has that Karen haircut. Like.
Right? Someone online called her a Karen, and I was like, I'm not sure actually truthfully, where we stand, like how inappropriate it is to like joke about calling people Karens. I actually don't really know.
Why would it be inappropriate?
Fuck a Karen. Fuck a Karen.
Oh, okay. All right. I don't know. Like, I don't. Dude, I haven't been outside for like 6 months, man. I don't know.
This is the only thing I'm going to say about Karen as a concept. Yeah. Suddenly, people who, you know, didn't give a shit about the context of words and claimed that you could just say whatever you wanted because it's just jokes, man, right? Now, suddenly have a deep knowledge of context where they're like, well, you're saying Karen, but we know what you mean. Fuck off and die. Fuck off and die. That's my statement.
Well, I just meant it in the sense of that, like, Karen is a funny term, but what they're calling is one of the least funny things about society. Like, that.
Oh, okay.
I just mean, like, Karenisms is basically, like, it's like the nuance of like Get Out or whatever. You know what I mean? Like
right.
about like people who are like think they're good and are right. and are like truly horrible. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I mean is I don't think it's offensive to call Bella that. What I mean more is that she's just kind of like calling Karen makes it more charged than what I mean. But
yeah, sure. yeah, yeah.
But she has that energy of Central Park Karen, like right. of like. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to call the cop. You know, like that whole, like, I'm being, like,
you know,
assaulted here. Like, she's really, it's, I didn't know Bailey had this much personality. Like, you know?
Yeah. I don't get that vibe, though. I don't get it. I don't get the Karen. If that's right. the context, then I don't think she's a Karen.
I think she's more I don't, like annoying being, like, white immature. Lady. It's more
is
like, right?
Pretty accurate.
Yeah. Right.
Well, like, what's the difference between, like, her gimmick and I don't mean this as, like, a knock,
yeah.
Just as a comparatively, like, what's the difference between her and like Kyle O'Reilly or like, you know, somebody from Undisputed Era, where they're just sort of like,
there's no
arrogant,
difference actually, really.
Yeah,
she's doing like Undisputed yeah. Era, kind of right, like
right,
because they're like frat guys, like Cobra Kai was a comparison, like annoying white guys. And
yeah, it just feels like
was
she's
bringing
like,
that energy.
She's calling yeah. herself great, but it's like not that earned, but she is the right. champ. It's that whole thing, you know? But she's also yeah. doing it where she's like screaming at the top of her lungs at the announcers and just be like, oh, these titles are so heavy. And she's like, you know what I mean? Like it's really good. I mean, they're doing yeah. a great job. She's saying things. I said that I wrote in my notes that she's like Clifford. Me and
yeah, we've been talking yeah. about Clifford a lot lately.
Me and Aaron talk a lot about the movie Clifford. Which,
I was
by the way,
talking about
on
Clifford
HBO
earlier.
Max.
Yeah, I got
that movie has yeah. one of my favorite scenes ever.
What is
and
it?
I'm sure you know what it is. It's when he's sitting there and he's like trying to tell, and Charles Grodin is like, can you just be a normal boy?
We just talked about this. Yeah,
can yeah. you just be a normal boy? You can't, can you? And he's like trying to like just make like a normal face. Yeah, oh, yeah. Like, you can't, can you?
Well, apparently Aaron's so husband does a great an impression yes. of that scene.
Okay, I mean, Dan brought up Clifford, and then I asked Mike if he liked Clifford. He's like, oh, I love Clifford. He's like, we've watched it. I was like, no, I haven't seen it since like 91.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he's like, oh, my favorite part is where Grodin's like, can't you be a normal boy? And then he did the like him trying to be a normal boy, and that made me laugh so fucking hard. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Resetting constantly.
You guys
reset.
You have to watch so the YouTube good. Of this episode if you haven't like, already to see the impressions.
Tom Sharpling is always he's like obsessed with that movie, and so he would talk about it forever. And I it used to be on. This is a little backstory. I used to when I was in I shared a room with my brother growing up all through high school. Okay,
which brother?
And Neil, my younger brother.
Mm.
And
big fan.
Yeah. He's a top guy. Mm-hmm. And I slept on the top bunk, okay? And when I would go, it was terrible. I've never talked about this on the pod.
I didn't know this.
Oh, God. Really?
Uh-uh.
Oh, it's such a, all right. Well, I slept on the top bunk of my pod, of my bunk bed. My pod.
Wow. You guys were wow. in pods? How modern.
So anyway, I was in pods. Yeah, it was like kind of the Matrix or whatever. We were just batteries, but folks. But so so the remote was broken for like just years.
Oh God!
And so like I would just set it on Comedy Central or whatever, and then just climb up into my bunk bed, and then like whatever channel was on, it stays on that channel.
That's what it is.
And they would show Clifford like all the fucking time, and I would just watch it over and over again. It was on Comedy Central. This movie Clifford. It's Martin Short playing a kid, but it's and. Tom Sharpling has pointed this out before that like it's very hard to pull off playing a kid.
Yeah.
Right. And they do it now like in Pen 15 and stuff.
15.
But in that what they do is they just don't they kind of act the same and don't acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm.
This is like straight up like he is doing a kid impression, you know, and they make him look small. And it's fucking amazing. Martin Short is so talented. And I'm yeah. saying, we need more movies because I have friends who have that kind of physical ability and talent. Like, I don't know why Middleditch doesn't have his version of Clifford, you know?
Right. Right.
Well, I don't know why those movies are so out of style.
Son of Clifford.
Yeah, does every movie have to be like knocked up where it's, you know?
Oh, it's so adult.
Right. Like, I love that kind of stuff. It's the roles I'm more suited for, so it works in my favor. But, like, I'm saying, like, some people are just like Jim Carrey kind of people. We need a lane for those kind of people, those kind of big physical performers, you know?
Man, Jim Carrey is such, like, and I was just flipping through Netflix, and it's right. like auto plays like the thing. Mm-hmm. And it was Fun with Dick and Jane. And yeah. have you ever seen that movie?
No, there's but I'm scene sure it's where hilarious.
There's a scene where he's trying to rob a convenience store, and the gun gets stuck in his hoodie pocket. Yeah. And he's like, keeps trying to like pull it out.
Oh, I can like picture God. It.
It's so yeah. fucking perfect.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, and then I watched people coming up in comedy. I know we're veering off, but like coming up in comedy, I would see people who have that kind of talent, and I'd watch just like jealous people say to me like, oh, I don't think that's that funny, that kind of stuff. They're like, no, you're just jealous because you can't do that. Like, right. I'm jealous because I can't move. I can't physically. I'd watch like Donald Glover on stage. The control over his body. I'm not even remotely surprised at like the This Is America video where he moves like that. It's like, yeah, like some people are move like that. And yeah. we need a lane for – there's got to be just like here's movies for people who move cool, right?
You know who moves really cool?
Who?
Ricochet.
Mm.
Richard O'Shea.
Yes, yeah. Richard O'Shea.
Anyway, there's the room greats. For everybody. There's room for all kinds of talents. Anyway, folks. Okay. So, oh, Sasha and Bailey. Yeah. So I think Bailey is killing it. She's doing like a Clifford thing, we're saying. Good for her. You know, you got to toy around with it. This is why always on this podcast, like, I think it's really funny. Me and Aaron, maybe we had this conversation on this pod, maybe last week. People ask me, like, who's your favorite wrestler or whatever,
yeah.
right? And I'm always like, I don't know. I don't watch wrestling like that anymore, you know? Right. I'm more watching wrestling to see the art and watch, like, people flourish. So I always find it interesting when people are like, I've been on Bayley train since day one. Like, we have people in the Facebook group who are like, I thought she was doing great heel work before. It's like, no, she wasn't.
It's just
she
like wasn't. with music or like with right. bands. Like, oh, I loved their first album that like no one heard or whatever. Cause it
the one that wasn't good.
Cred, yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. There's so like then you're pride. Like, yeah, it's like, well, I don't need any of that. Once I hit a certain age, I don't need to mm-hmm. be like the first guy on this train right. and blah, blah, blah. But I mean, I'm sure I'll contradict that at some point, but I'm saying, but the cool thing in wrestling is watching a wrestler find it. Like a Britt Baker, I think is the best example I can think of in recent history. Like she had a complete switch. Like she sucked so bad. So you know, like don't be like, I liked Britt Baker when she was her big return to Britsburg. That was my favorite.
Right, right.
like you know what I mean. So, but it's great to see Bayley hit that stride, and I love that WWE believed in her. They don't cave to like a jabroni run. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think Sasha, on the other hand, it's weird because Sasha is such a star. She had a great match with Io Shirai last week. Who did she wrestle this week? She had a great match against somebody.
With Kairi?
Oh, yeah. Kairi Sane, great match. She's having these like dream matches. They're a blast, right? And she's bringing a great energy to it. But I really do think that she's very comfortable in this Bayley's sidekick role.
She does. I don't know why. She could be beyond, but she's in this like tag team zone, and maybe she's happy there. I don't know why, but I think she could do another solo run.
Well, she's kind of good at it. Like
at
she
will.
Does. Like
she looks great.
She like Bayley's kind of the personality, right? And then Sasha just stands there, like looking like. I mean, I want to say she looks like $2 million. I mean,
at least
great.
Right. She looks so fucking awesome. And then she does, like, a lot of looks and all this stuff now. She peppers in, like, when she says, like, one line or one sentence, that, like, it's great.
Like when she did the Taker, like.
That was so fucking funny.
Yeah,
that's exactly what we're talking about. She did a Taker Bailey was ripping on Taker. It was fucking hilarious, I thought.
<On the phone.
laughs> He's like, Taker called it.
Go ahead.
It was anti-funny. I just want to say it was like anti-comedy. Like it was incredibly unfunny and annoying. Mm-hmm. But she knew that, and then just kept leaning into it. But then Sasha, right? She kept. She was like, "Here's the phone call I did with Taker. Called me to be like, you're the best champion." And blah, blah, blah. And but then Sasha literally just did that small thing where she like rolled her eyes up, and it was like already a fucking meme, you know, and gif.
She was like laughing while she did it too, which I thought was fun.
Yeah,
I want to call to everybody's attention. About 3 years ago, Bayley did a Snickers commercial that foreshadowed her sort of run now. And if you go back on the archives and you listen, I've mentioned this commercial before.
Yeah, I remember this commercial.
Because it was the first time I'd ever seen a personality on Bayley. She does this sort of bratty thing very naturally. And it's weird to think that we had so many years of her trying this, like, I'm a kid who got to wrestle gimmick.
Right. With a name like Pamela, I mean, it should be
Pam
pretty natural.
From San Jose. No
less. Yeah, it should come pretty natural.
By the way, I'm getting texts from Letterman, who is ecstatic that one of his guys has become the NXT champion.
Congratulations.
Yeah. I think everyone's watching wrestling again. I think people are getting back in. Are people ready for wrestling? Because wrestling's ready. I mean, imagine you pop back in and you see the work Seth Rollins is doing right now, and then you're like, oh, shit, it's Seth Rollins versus Aleister? That's sick. And then you're like, Bayley's good? What?
Where have I been?
And finally, Taker is gone.
I just realized too that like Keith Lee wore a Black Lives Matter thing, right?
Yeah.
On his gear, and then he gets awarded both of the belts. I think that's a cool thing.
Tonight also, right?
That's a cool thing. Yeah. Did he?
I think he did. Let's see. I think he did.
Because we saw what happened to Daniel Bryan.
What happened to Daniel Bryan?
For speaking out. He lost the belt to AJ. Who famously didn't say anything.
Yes. Although I did, to be honest, feel a little – I was thinking about my rib on AJ for a second. And not that it's unwarranted, but I did feel like – I was like, you know – I could see, like, he's not like a big social media guy, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? But I think I am just disappointed in him because, like, I don't know. Anyway, whatever.
Well, maybe disappointed isn't the right word, like, because.
I think I understood singling him out was definitely unnecessary, maybe arguably unnecessary. But I also just feel like he matters a lot to me. Like, I still am like watching his IC run, and I'm like, I fucking love the guy. You know what I mean? So then, you know.
You felt a little let down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, totally. Mm-hmm. I was talking about Rollins. I mean, do you ever get sick of the stomp? I feel like some finishes are just – so fucking good. Like, anytime he does a stomp, I love it. And it's funny because the stomp I did get, I just want to bring it up because the stomp took a lot of heat during the Bray Wyatt run.
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
Because he gave like 40 stomps to the Fiend in a row. Remember that?
Yeah.
But it's so fucking funny in wrestling how none of it ever really matters, because then I was just watching the stomp. He stomped maybe Aleister Black or somebody on the stairs. I think it was last week. Rollins did just a running stomp. Like, he ran around the ring. Somebody was set up for a stomp. He stomped him, and then he just kept running. And I was like, oh, I love the stomp. And I'm like, oh, wow, it's so funny how all of us marks, like, three. Imagine you're a wrestler, all stupid-ass marks. Like, 3 months ago, we're like, they fucking ruined the stomp.
Ruined forever.
And then all of a sudden, I'm like, what a move. And I barely remember when I was like, the stomp is ruined.
Fickle.
I mean, we all recognize that it's, you know, that it's that, like, I probably even at the time recognized that, like, it doesn't actually matter, but it is so funny because, like,
well, that's why, like, when people go crazy over something like that and it's like the end of the world and like they flip out, it's kind of like, just chill. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
In July, you won't even remember.
I want to talk about what I'm calling the match of the week here, which I thought was Matt Riddle versus Johnny Drip Drip. John Hennigan has a sick – I posted it. He's got a sick move, or it's a string, a couple moves that it's if you're on the Facebook group, check it out if you didn't watch the match. But I encourage you to watch the whole match. Again, Riddle's under fire right now. He's also top billed on SmackDown right now. We're not, especially if John Morrison has a great showing, we're not going to be able to just avoid Matt Riddle. So it just is what it is.
Yeah.
He did put out a pretty weird video today. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, that's why I'm off the Matt Riddle train. That video was so stupid. It made me believe him less. It like didn't make him any more. It made him less credible in my eyes.
I mean, I don't
I didn't
know
see the video. What was it?
He put out a video.
Yeah, he put out a 2-minute video on Twitter.
Yeah.
Denying the claims of the person who he assaulted, and. Yeah. It was just bullshit. It was, I forget the acronym.
Didn't do it.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, yeah. And it was just, it was bullshit. I mean, whatever. But he denied it. He, you know, reiterated his claims that she's a stalker. He copped to having an affair, obviously, and, you know, denied that this incident, very believable incident happened. And yeah,
what he essentially was trying to do was say like, look, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. I had this affair. I really did it. I'm not denying that at all. I'm embarrassed by it. You know, blah, blah, blah. But like, I didn't assault anybody, you know, like
right.
There's no chance. Right. I didn't do that. I would never do that. That's essentially what he was trying to do. But what I just did it right here was way more, even more eloquent than he did. The problem with what he did. Because, look, I obviously I'm not going to throw the guy under the – I'm not throw the guy under the bus, but I'm saying, like, I don't have any proof here of anything. So I don't think we need to litigate it, especially when I'm trying to just talk about how awesome Morrison was in this match. You know right. what I mean? That's the whole point. But he called it, like, crazy a lot of times.
Right,
which
yeah.
Was the, which is just kind of like – you also did have, like, a relationship with this woman, you know?
Right.
So just to kind of, you know – there was so much like old school discredit. I don't know how his Fugazi Florida lawyer
him
put out this statement. I would call the same lawyer that blessed you that let him that printed their thing.
I'm allergic to bullshit. This is
they printed their statement on labels
on address like you didn't have a sheet of 8.5 by 11 laying around to print that on.
Yeah, this is like if you're his lawyer, you just quit the case. You're like, what are you doing? Yeah.
The
you're
lawyer like, is just
only put out statements that are like very well curated. You know what I mean? Like, just because the thing about Matt Riddle is he has that like, irregardless of hey folks, but any wrongdoing or blah blah blah, he's has a smirky bro face. It's his gimmick, you know. So he has like it's exactly that. Like he's trying to be like dead serious, and he's having a hard time not being like, all right, bros, because he's like looking into
right,
the camera.
Right, totally.
You know, and I feel for him on that. Like I understand that thing. It is very uncomfortable, and that is a thing where. You know, it's in like, Gone Girl and stuff, where it's like he smiles at the wrong man and they pick a picture.
Right.
That is something I try to be sensitive to, that like the media, you know, like you get painted by how you sound, look, blah, 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 you know? That's not what I'm doing here. I'm just going on the fact that he like, did you have to like just call her crazy a bunch of times? Like
right.
You couldn't
really
eloquently wrote something that was like, we have a different vision of our relationship. We had a different view of that, and you know. And I'm not proud of that because I'm married, but I did care about you, and I'm sorry that you saw this that way. Like even that's first draft, and that's not, you know.
100% agree. I think like I said it on the Facebook group. Like it would have been 2,000% like a better look just to cop to it, own to something happened, you know, whether. We see things differently or it was a mistake, just something like
right.
this complete denial of that is insane. Like, I don't know why it's
right.
super believable. Like, I just don't get it. But anyways, video was bullshit, but he's still wrestling and he'll continue to. So
yeah, it rubbed me weird. You know, like it was,
he
like,
rubbed you weird. Do you want to talk about it?
Well, I mean,
you sound crazy, Dan.
You know, actually I have a quote from him about that.
That's beautiful.
But John Morrison with a Razor's Edge Blue Thunder Rock Bottom, like, what do you even call that move?
I don't know. It was so sick. The whole sequence was amazing. The first thing he does is he goes for like a Trouble in Paradise, right?
He goes
for a Trouble in Paradise, and then Matt Riddle puts his hands up to block him, but then he goes low. He does a sweep instead.
Straight up Tekken.
This guy's like 42, 3 years old. He's incredible what he did. To be honest, Matt Riddle was super talented and in his prime. I thought Morrison like showed him the ropes in that match. I thought in that match he was like, hey, I know you're cocky, but like this is how it's done. You know?
Yeah, man.
That
side salt deadlift onto his shoulders, like
so strong.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And Riddle's like, not even like if a tiny guy. You know, he picked him up like
huge.
Nothing. He did basically a somersault and like picked him up on the way up. He did a cartwheel where mid cartwheel picked Riddle and just had him on his shoulders. And then he did a spinning Blue Thunder Bomb thing, right?
Yeah. It was like Razor's Edge, Blue Thunder, and then into like a rock bottom.
It's killer. It's must watch. Like, it's red alert. It's fucking so good. So I just want to talk about Riddle opened up. I will say this, okay, separate, many would say irregardless of the Riddle accusations. Let's just talk about it. He opened Raw. I've read SmackDown. I've read that Vince is very into him. He's looking to give him a big push. The thing I read, which was very dirt sheety, but I saw it. You can't unsee it. Is that he sees him as like the new Shawn Michaels, you know? I actually thought this segment was fucking funny and good. He got no laughs and he was looking for laughs, but there's also no one there.
Right.
He kind of makes me like, not in a way where like I felt funny about it. I felt very conflicted, but I was like, oh, this is like kind of funny. Like he said, he was like, oh, here's why I don't wear shoes. And he told the story about, like, going outside. It was kind of weird. But, like, then at the end, he was like, they almost wanted to amputate the bros' tootsies. And I was like, kind of funny. He was like, they wanted to amputate the bros' tootsies, bro. Like, I was like, I don't know. It's, like, pretty funny. I don't know.
Would you punch that up to bros' toes? Or do you think tootsies is better?
The bros' toes, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. He looks like a stoner. He talks like that naturally. We've seen it in his, like, assault accusation tape.
Right.
He can't even turn it off there. So I don't know. He's the story about how I never wear shoes. Like, the amount of times I, like, want to hear about why wrestlers do stuff and we don't get it, and you hear, like, here's why I don't wear shoes. It felt real. I think it is real.
Yeah.
He's saying he has no feeling in his feet. That's like Luger. He's got like the metal plate in his arm. Mm-hmm. Like, here's why I don't wear shoes, because I can't wear them. I'm uncomfortable. Like, I don't know. I thought that was pretty. And like, because the there's nerve damage to it, like, I wrestle better this way. I kind of like that kind of shit personally, you know?
A little peek behind the curtain.
Yeah.
Peek at the tootsies.
Yeah. Obviously, is my image of Riddle's extremely hurt. I can't. Yeah. Right now, I would be like stoked for how he's doing. You know, I'm a big fan. I am still a fan of like his work. It's just, it's hard to separate it, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Let's jump over to Raw for a sec. And so, Dolph Ziggler, my boy, opening up Raw with I thought it was a pretty cool segment. Heath Slater returned.
Mm-hmm. Beef Slater.
Slater.
What did you guys think of Heath? Heath returned to confront McIntyre. Ziggler playing mind games with McIntyre. What did you think? Although I would say that Heath Slater very quickly, he came out there to confront McIntyre, but very quickly realized he changed gimmicks very fast here. But yeah.
I think it was a nice little piece. I mean, it wasn't even acting, right? Because he's like, but he got emotional in the ring there with Drew.
Yeah.
And it was like, I don't know, it was a nice depth of acting to Heath Slater that I've never seen. Just kind of letting himself feel that emotion and bring it into the scene. I thought it was good.
Yeah. Well, he was like, oh, I actually only have two kids. I thought that was kind of a nice touch.
Right. He's like, not, you know, my kids at home, not the 22 kids that you all think I have, my two daughters. Like, he got really real.
Yeah, man. I'm excited. I hope that he gets cut up. He's nice and beefy right now. I'd like to see him, you know, cut that up a little bit.
What do you think
he'd
do with
his free agent shirt? Take that off.
Yeah.
That's a cool shirt, though.
I think that's his pro wrestling t-shirt, probably, right?
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what he does. I mean, I don't know if they're hiring him back or whatever, but I thought this was nice. I thought it was cool to see McIntyre kind of he again, another guy, just a natural likability. I feel like we're entering an era. We have a lot of good baby faces, which is normally seems to be the problem, is that there's a lack of them. But I really do think Drew is, you know, it's a bummer he doesn't have the crowd, because I think this title run would be like really working and really good.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
I think he's really coming through. Like, there, that whole Heath segment, there's a thing with Drew, again, another talk about, like, real natural likability, where you really think, like, I really believed in some kind of work shoot way that McIntyre was thinking about, like, oh, it is a bummer. Like, this guy got fired, and I am a champion. Like, that does suck. Like, this is my friend, you know?
Yeah. I wonder if there's a connection between, like, how sort of, like, stressful and awful the world is, and then like sort of people, like wrestlers rising to the occasion to be like good guys and like sources of like hope and inspiration, rather than like I'm a piece of shit who is cool but mean.
Well, starting from his run where he beat Brock, like at WrestleMania, he won, and then you would think he was kind of like probably if they interviewed me, I would be like, yeah, I'm bummed out, like I didn't get to like headline Tampa. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, but his thing was like, oh, actually now being the champion means more, because like this is when people need you the most. Like, right. I don't know. I hate to be such a fucking mark, although I love to be a mark, but I believe that comes from you can't – unless I feel like lines like – because you say that in interviews, not in script, you know? I think that comes from like a real place, you know?
Absolutely.
Especially because I watched him wrestle on the indies and you felt like he had integrity. I don't know. He seems like a real good guy. What do we think of Ziggler's look?
Ziggler's look? Talk about Karen, his hair.
When he flat irons his hair,
yeah,
it is like one of the – it's like Jericho scarf heel level – like move of like classic like heel 101, where it's like I'm gonna do something that makes me look stupid, and it's gonna like subconsciously piss people off that I look that way, and then it gets that like heel ball rolling without him having to say a word. Like his hair,
his
being
hair
flat ironed is so perfect.
He needs like the Ziggler clam bake, like feels like he's like he goes into full-on like ski lodge, like my dad owns this place, like resort, like that kind of like thing. I mean, I'm just excited for that match. We obviously know Ziggler will lose. they're already
gonna look great doing it.
Yeah, they're talking right now about from you know, hate to be all sheetsy, but whatever.
What has this podcast become?
I don't know. I guess
Sheets Davidson over here.
I know. Jeez.
Maybe I should start doing it in character. I'd be Donnie Sheets. Donnie Dirt Sheet. Donnie Dirt Sheets. I was thinking for McIntyre, they were talking about going either for SummerSlam.
Sheets Lee. Sorry.
Oh, I love that guy.
They're talking
Sheets
about
Lee. Whoop, whoop.
Whoop whoop,
Cheats Lee. Whoop whoop. Sorry. Go ahead.
They're talking. How dare you?
Stupid.
They're talking about. I'm sorry about that. I can't control the board here. Okay. But they're talking about going Brock Drew at SummerSlam. But then I read they're talking about maybe going Orton Drew at SummerSlam, which would be a killer feud since Edge is hurt. What do you think about Orton Drew McIntyre?
That's a lot of beef.
That's a lot of beef. That's about to say the exact same thing.
Oof.
Do you think you feed Orton, who I think right now is really, we're getting prime Orton right now. You feed Orton to Drew? You have Drew beat him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now is the time.
Randall doesn't now need to time. Win.
Randall Keith?
No. Randall Keith doesn't need to
Randall
win.
Randall Keith, he doesn't need it. He doesn't need to win, and he's also the perfect person for him to beat because he's like the legend killer, and he's this like talent that's been around for ever at this point.
Right.
And he just, I think side by side too, Drew's one of the only people that like Randy doesn't make look like a child.
It's interesting because it's like, what do you do with Drew? Because if we don't come back for a long time, it's like, it's almost like this run doesn't happen if he doesn't ever get in front of a crowd with this title, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He needs to be praised, like, in person, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think they will, because I think WWE will figure – they're going to start doing shows. Like I said, I think LA Mania will happen. They might have to sell it at one-third capacity or something, but, like – you know, they'll figure out ways to space people by that point. They'll have different ways you enter, timed entry. Just, yeah. Masks, mandatory masks. They'll probably give out masks so everyone's wearing like a Mania mask.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's definitely like they're not going to miss another Mania.
Another
one,
right.
Even if COVID's out of control. But I think Drew holds that title until he gets in front of a crowd, at least. Like, I think there's a chance he goes. It's just weird because if he goes all the way to next, like, if he goes like 400 something, like, you know, it's like, does that count as a long run? Does that get a little asterisk? I can never, you guys, I'm so self conscious about saying asterisk on this
foot. Is it a footnote?
Yeah, it's a footnote. Is it, does it get a footnote? Anyway, irregardless, I think that I'm getting it over. I think that sometimes you have to see a match like a McIntyre Ziggler, and you got to just say to yourself, I'm just going to enjoy this match. I already know what's going to happen. You know, we know Drew is going to end with a claymore and a pin. You know, we know that. But
watch Jericho's website for the results.
keep your eye on chrisjericho.com for the results as they happen live. But man, I'm excited to see just those two guys go at it. They do have a great history. If you look on WWE's Instagram, they posted like pictures of these guys from like 12, like not 12 years, probably maybe like 10 years ago wrestling. So I'm excited for that match. And I thought bringing Heath back was really fun.
When is the horror show? Is that's next weekend?
Not by the way, it's so funny, you know, how scripted WWE is, because every wrestler said the horror show at Extreme Rules.
Right.
Yeah.
That's how it was written. Like every wrestler naturally would say, like, you would naturally just be like at the horror show, but they would say the horror show at Extreme Rules. It's like, you know, that's like specific wording. You're not allowed to fuck up, you know?
It's like, the Largo at the Coronet or whatever.
Yes. Right, Largo at the Coronet. Right. Exactly. Yeah. The same thing. Yeah. That's so funny. Anyway, all right. I mean, that's most of the stuff. Last thing I'll say, just a really small thing. They started doing Daniel Bryan commentary on Zoom during, the AJ Gulak match. Like, he was like, oh, I'm watching it at home. And it was kind of weird the way they did it, but I think that's a cool idea to like do some interviews and stuff during the matches, like some Zoom interviews. I just think that was a cool device, ways to get interesting. Cool. Anything? Yeah, that's everything really for the week. Oh, except for the one other note that I wrote, that was Ric Flair being in the porn center makes me very nervous.
Yeah.
He's too old, man, to be around, like, I
alive.
Fucking, yeah.
He doesn't see it that way.
I think if you're him, you're kind of like, he always wanted to die in the ring. He said it.
Yeah.
His big retirement where he's like, I'm here to announce that I'm never retiring. I'm going to die in this ring. So maybe that's what he's going for. But no, I mean, I hate to even joke about that. But Ric Flair around all those other dudes, he's immunocompromised. Like, it's not worth it. You know, even if they're testing people, somebody, you know, we know Corona's going around WWE. It's kind of a bummer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wonder if that's kind of fucked up. Like, if he does get Corona and passes away, if like right before he dies, he'll like stutter step like he's not going to, and then like fall over. He does a flare pop.
I'm not changing my lifestyle. I'm 4 or 5 women.
I'm not changing my lifestyle. I'm 5 or 6 feet away every day of my life.
Yes, I'm fine. I'm fine. Boom. Yeah.
I'll be 6 feet away when I'm 6 feet in the ground. Woo! Whoa.
Yeah, no, you can't do a good flop. I don't have a flare flop sound drop. Okay, anyway. But yeah, no, I don't know. But my point is that, you know, it's a slight bummer. It gets me a little nervous. Anyway, we'll focus more on AEW and NXT on the bonus episode. I'll record that with Tulo tomorrow. I'm sure this – Tulo's back, by the way. He already texted me. I'm watching wrestling again. He took 1 week off because, honestly, the real news rocked him, you know?
I know. He was rocked by that. He's done away with his wealth of Riddle merch, so.
So I think he was pretty bummed, but I'm glad he's back watching wrestling again. I do.
Aren't we all?
You can't hold people's bad behavior in wrestling against the art. It's sometimes that's hard to do, but if you did that, you wouldn't listen to music or watch any movies. All right. Everybody, thanks for listening to the show this week. I appreciate it. Listen, support us, patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Check out the Cow Movie Club. If you're not, it's a fun. If you're quarring, watching these movies are a blast. They're movies some of them you would watch. Some of them you would never watch. Plus, we give recommendations of stuff to watch when you're on the couch, stuff we dig, stuff we didn't dig. And we watched My Spy this week, which is free. That was supposed to be a big blockbuster movie, and it's for free on Amazon. Well, not free, but, you know, the cost of – well, it goes towards
crime.
Aaron's household.
Yeah, yeah.
Paid by Bezos.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So Amazon – absolutely.
My Spy bonus.
Watching My Spy feeds Erin, is what I'm saying.
Yes, and I need food.
She's
feed
hungry.
Me more. Feed me
She's
more.
Hungry. Mm-hmm. Feed me more. A little Ryback for
yeah,
you. A little
yeah.
Throwback.
Yeah.
Ryback.
I'm becoming Ryback.
I'll be coming. Feed me more, Ryback. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to the show, and everybody, keep watching wrestling. Cheers up. Kisses.
Of wrestling, I listen on
Wednesday
when I go to work.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.